single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Living Life. Today, we continue and we finish Psalm 73 that we began yesterday. And just to kind of summarize as we continue, yesterday we talked about the wicked and the way they live. And as they live, they profit. They do as they will. They live as they will without fear. No fear of God, no fear of judgment. And we talked about how it is vain for the people of God to try and compete against them as we see their prosperity, right? We don't have to live up or measure alongside them because they're, you know, in a rule of their own because they have no rule. They're cheaters, basically. And as promised, today we will see the fuller solution and the answer to how we should live. You know, not just not competing against them, to stop trying, as we said yesterday, but what is the fuller solution in the way that we should live? Let's read the passage and then we'll continue.
Psalm chapter 73, verses 15 through 28. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground, you cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds.
Verse 15 of today's passage is a wake-up call of the psalmist for himself. He's basically saying, if I truly believe what I said previously in the first half of the psalm, and that's it, that's all I think, that's all I believe, then I would be betraying the children of God. I will be betraying God himself. And, you know, he knows that. He understands that. The envy that we see in the previous section is a faithless response that comes from a man trying to achieve something on his own, as we talked about the purity. And this only leads us to say things like, why won't God? Or why did God do this, etc. We start to complain against God and we think that we know better than God. In verse 16, it says, to understand, to do and be something by ourselves is depressing. It only leads us deeper and deeper into depression because we cannot, you know, these are things that we cannot do, we cannot be. Until verse 17, and it begins, and we see God entering. Now, notice that God disappears after the initial, you know, verse 1, right, that where God is good. Right? And he's not mentioned at all. He kind of disappears from the picture, from the equation, until now, verse 17. When human effort is exhausted in helplessness and hopelessness, going deeper and deeper into depression as we try to do and be something that we cannot be by ourselves. Because, thing is, it's not, and then I want you to notice that it's not God blasting into the picture in glory and wrath and judgment against the wicked. They're all still there as they are, you know, prosperous and wicked. And there is no great light or voice, call coming from God from heaven. But the psalmist simply goes to God. He now realizes, right? After everything, he realizes what he needs to do and he goes to God. And it says, into the sanctuary of God, into his sanctuary. Now, why, you know, what does that mean? What do we do in a sanctuary? what do we do but worship? Our worship hall in the church is called not just a hall, but it is a sanctuary. It represents that holy of holies that was behind the curtain that only the chief high priest could go in once a year. And that, you know, with a rope tied around his ankle with a bell to make sure that he was still alive. And in case he falls down, you know, and dies because of sin in his life, that they can pull him out, right? Our worship hall is not just a hall. It is a sanctuary, a place of worship. And as the psalmist enters the sanctuary, he understands, right? Because in worship, he turns his eyes to God. We turn our eyes upon Jesus. We are, as we look full into his wonderful face, we realize that the things of this world, right? The things that we see, the prosperity of the wicked, cheaters prospering and everything, all of this grows strangely dim. It doesn't matter so much anymore. We don't become envious of them anymore. In the light of his glory and grace that we receive, in the light of the blessing that we have from God. Now, I hope you realize this is a song. This is a worship song that I just quoted and adapted into today's psalm. Because as we worship, we fully understand the fullness of the vanity of the lifestyle of comparing, complaining, and being dissatisfied as we look at the prosperity of the wicked. The being envious of the prosperity when we have the blessing of God, right? The blessing of Christ in us. That is the hope of glory. And verse 23 to 28, you know, is all about Christ in me and I in him, right? Notice the prepositional and the proximity word that the psalmist uses, right? Of between him and God, between the psalmist and God. He says, you know, words like with, hold, guide, and into. And then verse 27 and 28 is, I think, the key verses for today. Verse 27 says, those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. Verse 28, but as for me, it is good to be near God. Right? That proximity and closeness, the prepositional words of us being united as close as possible with God, that is completely one because we have Christ in us. His abiding presence unites us to him. So, you know, those of us, those of you who are broken, who are hurting, troubled and weary from living in this cutthroat world with against wicked people who cheat every opportunity that they get. Jesus is calling you to come into the sanctuary and worship. Stop trying to be something and come and worship. Come, look to him and let him live in and through you. And that is how we live in the blessing of God. So as we end, I want to read to you verse 17 one more time, which I believe is the turning point to and the way to our solution for today. Verse 17, till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destination. There, as in the wicked, the destination of the wicked, the arrogant, the godless, the prosperous even. Enter the sanctuary. I pray that you will do this daily, right now. Enter the sanctuary. You don't have to run to the church necessarily, but right now, worship God and acknowledge him for who he is and receive his blessing of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and let him live in and through you today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the answer that we have in you, O Lord. The answer that is always Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Son. We praise you for your Son in us, O God. That abiding presence, which is the blessing for us, for our lives, O Lord. No longer do we have to compete. No longer do we have to live up to any standard or any rule. But Lord, Christ in me, Christ living in and through me, that is enough. That Christ is enough for us. And so we daily enter the sanctuary to worship, to gaze upon your beauty, to see you, and let that lead us into worship, O God. We thank you. May we grow as worshipers today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching the world and stepping in closer, see Jesus.